A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured and arrayed on the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria, she said to her mistress, would he cure him of his leprosy? Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel had said. Go, said the king of Aram, I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman set out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. To the king of Israel he brought the letter, which read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, am I a god with power over life and death, that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he is only looking for a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king. Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. The prophet sent him the message, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and would move his hand over the spot, and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleaned? With this, he turned about in anger and left. But his servants came up and reasoned with him. My father, they said, if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now, since he said to you, wash and be clean, should you do as he said. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. The word of the Lord. Athirst is my soul for the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? As the hind longs for the running waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. Athirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. Then will I give you thanks upon the harp, O God, my God.
Glory to your glory, O God. his kindness and plenteous redemption.
Glory to you, Lord of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away.
Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi Christe.
Some people were filled to fury with regard to our Lord's words in the gospel today as he spoke in the synagogue in Nazareth. And at first he says, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. In other words, you're not going to accept me or my teaching. You're going to reject me. But it's what he says next that really stirs up their fury to the point of wanting to kill him, literally, to throw him off the cliff. And he gives two examples that they would be very familiar with from the lives of the great prophets Elijah and Elisha. And in both instances, God's grace, his favor, his blessing goes to the Gentiles rather than to the Israelites. He says there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah during the severe famine, but Elijah was sent by God to provide and to bring relief to a Gentile widow only. And similarly, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, but he was called by God to bring healing only to the Gentile leper, Naaman. So why did God choose to bless the Gentiles over the Israelites in those situations? Remember, the Israelites were God's chosen people. The people in the synagogue of Nazareth were very well aware of this. They were insulted by this. But God chose to bless the Gentiles in these two cases of Elijah and Elisha because of the hardness of the Israelites' hearts, because of their sinfulness. They were not interiorly disposed to receive God's blessing upon them. No one can simply demand God's grace or his miracles. Right? And the verse immediately before today's gospel starts, when our opening line today was our Lord's words, that no prophet is accepted in his own native place. But the verse immediately before this, chapter 4, verse 23, our Lord is reading the hearts of those who are there in the synagogue. That's when he says to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country. In one sense, they're demanding a miracle, but their hearts were not disposed to God's grace, to his blessing. God desires that our hearts be open and docile. He's pleased to bestow his mercy, to bestow his blessing and his favor upon those who are docile, those who are humble and open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And the widow of Zarephath and Naaman were both tested by the prophets, but they ultimately chose to trust and to humble themselves before God and what God was asking them to do through the prophets. And they were obedient to what they were asked to do by the prophets. And those in Nazareth hearing these words in today's gospel were clearly not well disposed to the Lord's words. They harden their hearts, and rather than allowing the Lord's words to challenge them, which were challenging, to open their hearts to conversion, they hardened them. Their pride prevailed. Again, they saw this as an insult, as an offense against them. And they were filled with rage to the point of wanting to commit murder. And as they drove Christ out of their town and led him to the brow of the hill to throw him off the cliff, St. Luke notes simply that he passed through the midst of them and went away. It was not his hour. These furious men who were determined to throw him off the cliff, they were not able to carry out their plan. And some of the fathers of the church have shown this points to Christ's divinity. St. Ambrose would say, "For when he wills it, he is taken. When he wills, he slips away. When he wills, he is slain." Right? His hour had simply not yet come. He's all-powerful. So looking at this gospel passage and the reaction of those from the Lord's hometown of Nazareth, one lesson we can take is the necessity of humility and a willingness to allow the words of Christ to enter our hearts and to make the changes that the Lord wants us to make in our lives. The gospel does challenge us. Scripture does bring to light our sins and our weaknesses. St. Paul would remind us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we can be tested. We are tested when we read sacred scripture, the word of God, especially when it brings to light the hardness of our hearts and our own sinfulness. But it also points out to us the path of repentance and conversion, the path that Christ came to offer us. And if our hearts are open and docile, we will heed that call to conversion. We will experience that peace that the Lord wants to give us, that he offers us, especially through the sacraments that he instituted and entrusted to the church. But it does require humility on our part. Because of our wounded human nature, we are uncomfortable when our weaknesses, when our sins are brought to light. And it may seem easier to hide them or to resist making any changes that God is calling us to make. Now, the account of Naaman, who our Lord referenced in the gospel today, was also, as we just heard, recounted in our first reading today. And he was greatly tested before experiencing the healing power of God. We know that he was a very successful and powerful military commander, but he also suffered greatly. He suffered from leprosy. And what led him to have this powerful encounter with God was first his suffering. That led him on the path of healing and ultimately conversion. In God's providence, it's often our suffering and our weakness that draws us to the Lord, to turn to him. It was in his suffering that Naaman was open to that suggestion, first of all, to listen to the advice, the counsel given by that young servant girl who was serving Naaman's wife when she talked about the prophet Elisha. And the major test, of course, was when Naaman arrived at Elisha's house, his residence, and Elisha didn't even come out to greet him. He rather sent the message to him to go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. So Naaman's first response was due to his pride. He felt insulted. This prophet didn't even come out to greet me and perform the miracle that I desire. And it didn't seem reasonable to him to wash in the Jordan when the rivers of Damascus, closer to home, would have been much more preferable. And after initially deciding in anger, similarly, that's another connection between those from Nazareth and the gospel and in Naaman, there was an anger, a fury that rose up. The difference, though, is that Naaman was able to overcome that through the influence of his servants. And they reasoned with him to go and actually to bathe in the river of the Jordan. And we know that he was healed. This was a test of humility and faith. And it was similar when we think of our Lord's miracles and healing in the gospel, that several times the Lord, in testing the faith and humility of those who came to him for healing, he did not heal them on the spot. Just like Elisha did not heal, that God did not heal through Elisha on the spot. But as a test of faith, go wash in the Jordan. Remember when the Lord said, "Go and show yourself to the priest, to the 10 lepers. When he told the man born blind, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So there's a humility and a faith that were required, and when they responded, they were healed, they were cured. So Naaman, again, having humbled himself, he went and did as he was instructed, and he was healed. And not only was he healed physically, but he experienced conversion. He was converted to the true faith, to the faith of the one true God. He was healed in soul as well as in body. And the church has seen this event as a prefigurement of the sacrament of baptism, as it's the waters of baptism that cleanse our soul from the sickness of sin. And God healed Naaman in order that ultimately that he might be converted and that God's name might be glorified among the Gentiles throughout the entire world. And Naaman's experience reminds us that God blesses and lifts up the humble. So again, we know that Naaman's pride was initially roused up, but through the influence of his servants and the grace of God, he was able to overcome his pride. And he obeyed the prophet's directions. And think, if he didn't humble himself, he would not have experienced God's healing in his body or his soul. To recall, in conclusion, our Lord, as our Lord would teach, he who humbles himself will be exalted.